It's spoiler in time, folks, where we take all that hard work we do on our other show, Cord Killers, learning how to watch things and then talk about them. This week, we're going to spoil the episode Ariel from Firefly and episode 9 of season 3 of Rick and Morty. I'm Tom Merritt, and with me to spoil you like a baby is Brian Brushwood.
Oh, man, this is we're in that lull before all the great television just assaults our face all at once. It's one of those rare moments.
It's that autumn lull where they're just waiting to spring all the fall television on you.
Did you just throw autumn, spring, and fall into your sentence?
Yes. It was the winter of my discontent.
Okay, all right. I've got a joining us live in studio is Mike TV of Get Set Go fame, twitch.tv/GetSetGo.
Mike TV Live.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, shall we jump in with a little bit of the winter movie draft?
Yes, we should. Hey, the Big and Tall team is out in front, $42 million, based on Kingsman: The Golden Circle and Battle of the Sexes, but mostly Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
Yeah. Okay. So Battle of the Sexes made $500,000, which is
$553,000.
Yeah, but at even at $4, I think it's the worst buy so far.
It is. Currently the worst of the four movies, yes.
However, I got to admit, I'm already worried about Team Champions prospects because I thought Lego Ninjago was going to do a little bit better.
Yeah, $21.1 million. Not what I wanted to see out of the gate for a Lego movie, a kids movie, a hype movie. I know it's early. It's September. And kids are going back to school, so you're not taking them to the movies as often, but I still thought I'd be doing more.
The next kids movie is My Little Pony on October 6th, so maybe it'll get a little bit of buzz, or I don't know. I think that's going to come in significantly lower than the 60 to 80 I was hoping for.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everything's going to be fine this week, Brian, because we have Flatliners coming out.
Oh, going to make so much money.
Yep.
Everybody's
won't be crushed by American Maid starring Tom Cruise for Team Jury.
Yes, I'm sure. Oh, man.
Eileen actually saw American Maid on Monday in a preview, and she said it's great.
Oh, so, that's awesome. I believe it.
So I guess what I'm saying is she's already seen it. You guys don't need to.
That's why I watch movies, just to know whether or not they're good. It never occurred to me to just listen to other people.
Yeah. Just go to Rotten Tomatoes. That's apparently what the studios think everyone does. All right. Next week, Flatliners, American Made. Let's move on to an email in our triage segment. Thomas Sully says, after listening to you discuss Star Wars Episode 7 and Rogue One, I wanted to give you my perceptions on the movies. I'm 44 and grew up with the original trilogy, as did you guys. I really liked how Episode 7 was essentially a redo of Episode 4, but with mostly different characters, as it was a nice way to get back into the Episode 4 or 5, 6 storyline after Episodes 1 through 3. In the same vein, I also liked how Rogue One also felt like part of Episodes 4 through 6 and feel since it takes place just before Episode 4. Now, Brian saw these as negatives, and I see them as positives. For me, having both movies feel like they belonged in the Episode 4 through 6 world helped me enjoy the movies more than if they were shot in different styles. I should also mention that I do take a bit of dissenting opinion on Episodes 1 through 3 than you guys. While one character choice in Episode 1 was terrible and unfortunate, the overall movie was good, if not a bit too bright and colorful. My only critique of Episodes 2 and 3 was they got boring in the middle, but they weren't overall bad movies. P.S. Tom, I am a new boss to DTNS too because I liked that Sarah's joining the cast permanently. Well, thank you, Thomas. I now agree with everything you said.
Okay, in order, I stop me if you've heard this before, Tom. I don't mean to crap all over things.
Stop.
Okay. Moving right along.
I know you're going with it. I'm just kidding.
My point is not that I'm down on what they're doing with the Star Wars stuff. It's just that I'm so impatient to do literally anything new. New than fulfilling on than stop just obsessing about the original trilogy. There's not been a single Star Wars movie that wasn't since 1982 that wasn't about those first three Star Wars movies.
Sure.
And And I'm just ready. I'm just ready. Just anything. Literally anything.
Mike, I'm curious how you feel about all this.
Well, you know, for me, the episodes 1 through 3 are kind of non-starters. Like I watched them, I caught them in the theater, but I've kind of exercised them from my. But the original trilogy, I'm a big fan of. I like The Force Awakens. I didn't think it was a great movie. I definitely think it smacked way too much of the like. And there were just things that kind of betrayed my understanding of the Force, like you know, like the lightsaber screaming out. Like I'm like. You know, I thought the Force was things that bound living things, you know. So there were things like that I took exception with. But I really loved Rogue One. I thought it gave a lot of like added a lot of momentum to the beginning of New Hope. Now when they say, hey, now you know that Darth Vader was literally right on their tail. You know that when Princess Leia says, you know, a lot of good people died for this, you know, for this information. You're like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, like I think I just added a little bit of tenor and flavor to the storyline, but I do agree. Like it's basically been the same story now for 30 years. I'd like to explore the Star Wars universe. I've done a lot of role playing in the Star Wars universe, and we never once had Luke Skywalker in any of our stories.
Yeah, you know? Right. You shoehorn in. Yeah. Imagine you're in the D&D campaign in Star Wars. They're like, and then a dude with a butt for a face shows up, but he's only got one arm.
Yeah. I will forego lecturing you about kyber crystals and whether they are in fact living crystals.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. yes, you're right. And that's
I actually disagree with Mike. I'm of sort of the opposite side where I loved Force Awakens for the same reasons that Thomas describes here. Like I liked that it felt familiar but had new faces and new mysteries, all of that. Rogue One, my problems with weren't where it was set. It was just a little bit of the pacing and the way the story was told and some of the things that I expected out of it. And we've gone over that a while. But I think what all of our opinions, all four of our opinions, including Thomas Sully, shows is, hey, man, people can enjoy things for different reasons. And they're none of them are wrong. Brian's not wrong for wanting to have something new. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Thomas Sully isn't wrong for saying, no, I felt comfortable. I wanted more Skywalker. I wanted more of the same. And that's what I enjoyed. And that's fine.
Yeah, and the thing is like and I actually the day that they were made available, I bought both The Force Awakens and Rogue One. So I still enjoy those movies. I've watched them multiple times, you know. But for me, like it's like if the rest of the trilogy kind of follows the same suit, if they just ends up being a sort of a shot for shot recreation, that's when I'll get pretty frustrated. I mean, my hope is that this next episode takes it in a pretty divergent.
That's your new you know.
Yeah. Bryce in the chat saying, "What about Star?" Peace. I would love that.
Well, what if that's what they do, right? What if it's not called Star Wars anymore when they
that's
change?
Called Star Trek.
All right. It's called Star Smug.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Rick and Morty episode 9 of this season, which really has like the past few episodes have turned me around on any of the small doubts I had. I again adored this. I even loved that where they very clearly point out, like, I guess we need Morty to have a good story while they're telling a story without Morty. I love the alternate rainbow universe and kind of exploring a more complex side of Beth. Brian, how'd you feel?
I was super, super glad to have split adventures between Rick and Morty. And I enjoyed, I think Jerry had the stronger timeline. It felt a bit out of nowhere to indicate just randomly like, oh yeah, by the way, 3 seasons in, we're just going to flatly announce that Beth is a murderous sociopath and without any connection. Like I can't think of anything that set that up before this. So that was a bit jarring for me. And it did feel like the world was horrific and crass just for shock value, which is fine. But I don't know this. I thought this was I'm not going to say it was a weaker episode because there were some good gags in there, but I do think it was the most off brand. I saw a lot of stuff just coming out of nowhere. And
see, I felt it was on brand for me because Beth as Rick's child has been a mystery to me. Like, why is she, you know, how is she related to him? Like, I don't like, you can have a grandson that's that much different because there's some Jerry in him, right? And obviously there's some of Rick's wife, whoever she is, in Beth. And I'm really curious about that story eventually someday too. But this showed me that what Beth's been doing is repressing the part of her that's like Rick. And I felt like that made way more sense out of Beth to me.
Yeah. What about you? You caught this, right?
No, I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. So my Rick and Morty's viewing is basically you go, have you seen this latest episode?
And every time Night Attack is over, I force feed you some more Rick and Morty. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I just haven't. Yeah. I haven't had the time to kind of keep up with it. You know?
Right on.
All right. Let's move on to Firefly, the episode Ariel. Heist. This is the heist episode, right? And every time I watch it, knowing what's going to happen, I still get maybe not chills per se, but I still get really excited about that scene at the end where Mal just turns on Jane and teaches him a lesson.
Yeah. But what's great about it is it doesn't feel like he's teaching a lesson. Like that moment of betrayal, like it feels, to be honest, it feels more like a baptism than anything else, where it's just like, here is your new gospel. If you want, you know, if you successfully convince me that you're all in and that we could trust you forever and that you will always be all in, then you can come in. But even then, it wasn't set that way. It was set like, you done goofed, you're gonna die,
and I feel like you have to be like that with Jane to make it sink in. I don't want to get into controversial dog training, but whether you agree with it or not, there has been the theory that you flip the dog on its back and teach him that you're dominant. And that's what Mal was doing. Maybe it doesn't work with dogs, but it certainly works with Jane.
I also I like the whole setup. One of the things that Firefly did that was really interesting was they went out of their way to remind you that the Alliance isn't bad. They're just heavily bureaucratic and heavily rule based and they're the haves and all these other people are the have nots and they're not big on freedom or personal privacy or any of that other stuff. And I like the fact that the opening scene where there's a contingency of people who are like, man, I really just like to go outside. I hear there's cool stuff. We're in a very rich neighborhood. I want to go. And just the flat, like, nope, nobody goes anywhere. And I thought the conceit of the heist by getting drugs, it's great because number one, that's a high density item that has a lot of value. And also it plays into the fact that even though we know these guys are going to lie, cheat and steal, that they're good. And that of ultimately this heist is going to benefit lots of people. I thought all of it felt good.
Mike, did you watch this one?
I actually watched the episode before this one to review because and that episode was awesome. It's really funny. Just can I make I think I hadn't watched Firefly in a while, and so I'm like, oh, let me catch up this episode because I remember the basics of the story. And when it started, I forgot the opening title was that kind of countrified, kind of westerny tune, and I realized I made this. Through the lens of my memory, I'm like, is this why Star Trek Enterprise had their really kind of like countrified
Brian Adams?
Yeah. Were they trying to do a little tip of the hat to the same Firefly vibe?
I thought Enterprise came out first. I could be wrong.
It's been a long time getting from there to here.
I don't remember
which one came out first.
Yeah. Anyway, but the thing is, if that was the case, then that would totally explain it. Because I'm like, why is this song? Anyway,
Enterprise was first. It looks like.
Oh, was it? Okay.
2001 to 2005.
Yeah. Okay. So Joss Whedon ripping off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It turns out he's like, I need a Brian Adams sounding song.
But I actually love the Firefly
theme,
as cheesy as it is. Like, it just always sets the tone for me.
It's not as over the top bad as, you know, like it's a good catchy kind of, like, it's a westerny kind of feeling song, you know. So that's
the versions that you guys are watching. Are they still beginning with the kind of the explanation to new viewers?
Yeah,
about
sometimes
the
it's the preacher, sometimes it's Mal.
Yeah. I rather like that they do it in character and that they speaks in that Captain Mal patois. Yeah. And I like the idea of the world that they got.
They're keeping it quiet. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Breaking the fourth wall and directly addressing the home viewer. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's like you're just somebody who's sitting at the bar with him and he's telling you their story or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad that they just didn't get a chance to do more exploration in that universe, because it's just those characters were so much fun. The world was super fun, you know.
Well, and I go back and forth about whether I actually want more.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, well, and obviously, obviously everybody's aged. The thing is that, like, for my money, I think that ship's already sailed. But it's just sad that they didn't realize what they had when they had it, you know, and just keep it and just live with it. Had it debuted in this day and age, I'm fairly certain it would have found. Well, I mean, it's huge audience.
Guess what?
You know?
It did, and it's called The Expanse, and it's great. Yeah. And we have it back now. We have a cast of lovable archetypal rogues of all varieties.
And I know that the guys who make up James S.A. Corey, Ty and Daniel, were fans of Firefly. They get a little uncomfortable if you make, they're like, we're not trying to rip off Firefly. This isn't one-to-one, you know, we're not trying to do Firefly. We don't see The Expanse as being Firefly. But absolutely agree with you, Brian, that The Expanse has that feel.
It is filled of a
crew of rogues who have been thrown together and have a great dynamic.
Yeah, but well, and specifically also that you don't have to do any over the top made up sci-fi to make The Expanse work. The fact that it all takes place in our very own solar system, and which is the same trick that Firefly did, just in a different solar system where there's just lots and lots of moons, plenty of places to go.
So many moons. Hey, Mike TV, thanks again for hanging out with us, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Go back, Mike, on Patreon. Where should they go?
Oh, I thought you were telling him to get out of here. Go back, Mike. Show is over now.
To
you
where
leave.
You came from.
You leave.
Okay.
Go give Mike money is what I'm trying to say. What's your Patreon again?
It's Patreon/GetSetGo. So that's pretty easy.
Patreon.com/GetSetGo. And of course, you got a brand new album out as well.
I do. Yeah. It's called This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. And it's got 45 songs on it. And I think this is the future of my album releases. They're going to be 40 plus songs every album.
You're a beast. You're an insane person. At least make a premium version that it's like, it's got one bonus track, but it costs five times as much. Like, make a $35 version.
Well, the thing is, I mean, so the pricing, like iTunes and all those places, they do their own pricing. For Bandcamp, I allow people to pay more if they want. But the thing is, like, I know, like, I've got fans, and like I had some fans that were like, we're in Uruguay, and $5 is a lot of money for us, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know, you're right. So I'm gonna find a way to make sure that you still have access to the music, and that you have a seat at the table, you know. And so, you know,
you're like, I think I got a solution that'll work out for all of us. I'm gonna add diss tracks on Uruguay, so you'll have no interest in the album.
Ladies and gentlemen, for a mere 16 cents or less a track, you can get Mike TV's new album.
That's not right. Make premium versions.
For a lot of bands, albums are now loss leaders, right? It's my seat at the table, you know, and then everything else that I do, my hope is that, you know, like, that's where I generate the revenue. So, and it's been working. I mean, slowly but surely, it's been building.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us. Thank you all for watching or listening, and we'll spoil you again next time.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.